Welcome to part two of our look at a frequency of coherence, a synchronization between the heart and mind. We have traveled across the globe to meet with Eric Canaus at Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. With his interactive online courses currently reaching across the world, Eric instructs and supports students in learning to create a positive, elevated relationship between our mental mechanisms and those of our heart center. This is a form of coherence, incorporating the art of mindfulness, vocal toning, and thought awareness. Once one begins to work with elevating this internal heart and mind frequency, the potential benefits can be quite widespread. Eric says that selfing, the art of creating a new future for ourselves, one that is more in line with our true desires and goals, can be achieved through monitoring our thoughts and envisioning our desired outcomes, utilizing all of our senses. He says the central nervous system retains our old patterns and habitual approaches to coping with circumstances and situations.
It holds on to the familiar, because it's worked in the past, right? Just hold on to what's familiar. It doesn't mean that what it's holding on to is good for you, but it's what it knows. So it embraces what it knows. It's the familiar self that it holds on to. And so what you want to do is you want to participate in your own evolution by invoking new possibilities, new feeling states that are not from the past. And you create these new feeling states as selfing, right? A selfing mechanism by choice, using your senses. So it's, again, it's imagine imagery, sensation, touch, feel, texture, aroma, taste. You use that to create the future possibilities. You're imprinting yourself into the future.
So you're saying that we incorporate all of our senses when it comes to creating a foundation for a future self.
Exactly. That's a skill. You have to learn how to do that, because you have to hold that impression. I like to, we call it imagination. I've been using the word lately called emotionation. You have to use all the emotions, all the body senses to create the future self. I was never trained that. I don't know of many people who are trained in knowing how to do that. But it takes, like anything, a little practice. Once you get better at it, it becomes the new normal you. Become a regular participant in creating your future self.
So in a way, you're also sifting through your emotions, taking a look at them, maybe not being triggered by them because you're being the silent witness within to observe them and decide what maybe you'd like to edit, leave behind, or what you'd like to cultivate.
Exactly. In psychotherapy, they call it, cognitive reframing, I think, is the formal word in psychotherapy. When I teach my course, before I learned about cognitive reframing, I called it recontextualization. You bring the experience of the past into the present moment in this state of coherence, and then you recontextualize it. How would it be different? What would have been said differently? How would you create the future? What would you like to be different? Feel it, taste it, sense it. So you're invoking a new possibility of the future you in the present moment, but you're not living and recharging. You're not giving energy to the old experience. Did it happen? Yes. But we're simply not feeding it energy. And you don't feed it energy, the neural net, brain, biochemical imprints in the body start fading away. You're not giving it energy. And then the new self that you're creating, your future self, you are giving it energy using the same mechanisms of emotion, right? Feel, touch, smell, sense. You're using that to create the future self.
Right. So if you discover something that you would like to dissipate from your life, you just stop feeding it. So you stop giving it your attention. You stop giving it an emotional response. And then it starts to ebb away.
Exactly. And they observe that under a microscope. It happens in real time. They watch the neurons, the dendrites. They watch them actually unconnect and disconnect in real time.
Oh, really? So you can actually see that in a mechanical setting?
Yeah. You can see them connect and connect, become a connection, and you can see them separate and disconnect in real time under a microscope.
Isn't that interesting? You had mentioned before that your machine will also register thoughts. It will actually give you an imprint of a person's thoughts.
So many people have reported this, is that when the M-wave, the inner balance and wave technology from HeartMath, when you focus attention, you are in the present moment. And you've surrendered your attachment to past emotion. Emotions are energy, right? Energy moving, energy in motion. So when you're totally present in the present moment, and then suddenly a thought comes in, they watch the sine wave get disrupted. It's not a beautiful, nice, smooth sine wave. or the color changes on the display, whatever they're doing, whatever they're using in the app, if they see it and they start making comment about, as soon as I started thinking, my coherence score dropped. Because thinking typically comes from those past emotions, those past experiences, the familiar self in the past. When that comes into the present moment, then it's a contrast to what was a perfect present moment of emptiness suddenly gets intruded by this thought. And then the machine, the inner balance says, you just dropped out of coherence because you got caught up in some emotional state of the past. You're not present in the moment.
Well, that's very interesting. So when you're in the present moment, everything is sort of smooth and peaceful. And then as soon as you start to think, as you say, you actually create a disturbance within yourself.
You allow that disturbance to come in. It's always there. But now that you have this place called coherence, now you can see it. You can observe it for the first time. You can see it happening as it comes into your experience.
Yeah. Oh, so it really gives you an opportunity to visually differentiate between the two states.
Yeah, and choose.
Yeah, choose which one you want to follow. That's really interesting. I wanted to go back to something you mentioned before. You said, you know, you don't necessarily have a good day or a bad day. It's just circumstances. Did you mention that the weather has an effect on our states?
Yeah, HeartMath has done some research around this. Says thunderstorms, lightning, and ionization after thunderstorm can affect your coherence.
Really? I know there's a change in barometric pressure when it's overcast or raining, and that often creates a soporific effect or headaches in some people, but it's also the electricity in the air, is it?
Yeah. I'm not deep into the science. I just know that that's a factor. When people are in the groups and they say, I had a terrible score yesterday, and I go, no, you didn't. You just had a score.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. And in the sunspots, you know, in the sun flares, coronal mass ejections when it's sun, that can affect us too. I experimented with this. I go out and have a glass of the wine the night before, and the next day I wake up in the morning and do my practice. My practice is out of whack because I had a glass of wine. So it's not bad. I have no judgment. I like wine. But the fact is, my body is that sensitive that I can see the effect of the wine in my body, and it dysregulates my ability to achieve the scores that I'm achieving through daily practice. I can see it impact my body.
Okay, so the wine is actually creating a bit of a disruption.
Yep. I'm only speaking about me, right? Everybody's different.
Well, that's good to know, because some people are extremely sensitive, and I suppose if they were involved in a toning group or in any of your studies, they might come to realize that they're more sensitive than they thought they were.
Yeah. Some people say that San Marcos, Guatemala, is Lake Atitlan, is a spiritual destination from people all over the world. Languages from China, Russia, Estonia, Bulgaria, Australia, France, everywhere. And people come in here, many of them are coming here for advanced training, Reiki training, acupuncture training, whatever. There are advanced practitioners coming here for advanced training. I have the opportunity to sit with these people and have these conversations. And many of them are highly, you have Reiki training, they're highly sensitive to other people. So when I listen to them talking, I'm relating to the fact that I practice HeartMath, and I understand, you know, that these people are highly sensitive, but they, some people see that energy or that sensitivity as a problem. It's really not that other person's problem. It's your ability to focus and regulate yourself in the presence of other people.
Oh, absolutely. I'm quite affected by the people around me, and it has been quite a process learning how to basically govern my own energy or mind my own energy, I suppose, because you just have a level of awareness that maybe other people don't have. So it's like you just have to work a little bit harder than other people do.
Yeah, and I think that anybody that is working with other people has to understand and develop their skills of self-regulation. It's really important, whether they know it or not. They can be a teacher, but they still need to be. They recognize that their patients or clients are attuning to their bodies. So it's almost like a sacred exchange of energy. It's a sacred moment when you're with somebody else, whether you're in a formal session or just sitting talking to someone, they're regulating with you. So I personally have a responsibility to hold my space for myself. I can be findable, and they can feel safe to rest into my energy, and I don't have to say anything. They can just feel it. And then they can take that with them. And people have come back and said to me afterwards many times, I was sitting with you the other day and I'd never felt that before. And I said, yeah, because you opened up and you were not vulnerable in that sense, not vulnerable as in protection, but you were vulnerable as in open to know what you were feeling. and I held the space, and we never talked about it, but till afterward they come back and say, what was going on there? And I'd say, well, I just held the space and you accessed what was already inside of your own mind-body experience. You just opened it up, and then I reinforced it, and then you started giving it back to me. And then I gave it back to you, and you gave it back to me. This is all unspoken. And often when that happens, I say, yeah, and after that, I went back to my apartment and slept for 3 hours. I was exhausted because it's high energy feedback loops. And they did the same. these bodies are amazing antennas, right? They give and receive, and the heart's sending and receiving information. There's like electromagnetic field, and the bodies are attuning, and we're just going out along for the ride.
So you basically have to be a template for the other person, but it's a template of reciprocity.
Again, beautifully said. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We gift each other. I gift the energy to the other person. They gift it back. We create a feedback loop. And if two people are consciously, if you sat down and said, let's sit down, and I call it the phrase. There's a phrase that they're called eye gazing. Used sometimes, and sometimes it's like these dating groups, eye gazing. That's not what I'm talking about. Yes, you're gazing into eyes, but you're actually synchronizing your heart and your brain, your electromagnetic field with the other person. And there's three phases of transformation that take place. The first phase is just feeling safe. The second place is dissolution. And then the third place is the reveal. So in the first place, you just have to feel safe with each other. The dissolution is when I'm gazing at your eyes and I'm not putting any other information into my nervous system other than being fixated on your eyes and you fixated on my eyes. Then our nervous systems regulate together, and then sometimes people will say, you're disappearing, you're turning into, you're pixelating, you're turning into like a foggy, sort of amorphous, your face is changing shape. That's not them changing shape, it's you. Your nervous system is no longer feeding the familiar information into your body-mind experience. It's you dissolving. And then when two people dissolve simultaneously, then what happens next is they reveal their divine presence. So you see the other person as a divine being, and they don't look anything like the person you started sitting with 50 minutes earlier, because they're not that. They're not that projection of energy. They've surrendered that energy. They've gone through dissolution and completed surrender, and they revealed their divine essence to the other person. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I guess that would be quite profound, actually, because most people don't actually see the other person. They project on the other person and just sort of go on their own projection. But that would be really a way of not even necessarily getting to know the other person, but getting to know yourself.
Absolutely. Exactly. Because it's a feedback. It's a mirror. It's real-time mirroring. And in order to be present for the other person, you have to surrender whatever it is you think you are or they are. And it's a bit scary at first. I mean, first time I did it with an adult male, a man, I went through all the things in my mind to my experience. Why am I staring at this guy? It's like all the things. I could go through a list of things. But after that, it made no difference whether it was a male or female. It was a divine being sharing energy with me, and it was beautiful. That's all that mattered.
There's been some evidence that people who display an empathic tendency have a greater concentration of mirror neurons in their brains. I wonder just how powerfully effective this would be for someone who believes that they are empathic, or for everyone, because everyone to some level is empathic.
I think it's an experiment, right? The inner balance is a like training wheel. You put them on and ride the bike for a while with the training wheels on, experiment with what works. I would encourage anybody that wants that are empathic or think they're empathic or been told they're empathic, bring some sort of sense of control and sense of safety into the process. Start learning what your body's doing and the inner balance.
It's a lot of information for people to take in, especially if it's a foreign concept for them. If you had something you wanted to say, clarify, or follow up on, was there anything you wanted to add?
I want everybody to know that they have a choice, that they're not victims of their experience, and they are the creators. Once we go inside, and we look around, we observe the images, conversations, body sensations, and realize that's really not us. It's just information coming from the past. And then we actually have a choice. Is it that moment you decide to start invoking your future self, your life will change. Because you're participating in your own creation. And That's a powerful, powerful place to come from. And that can change or will change the trajectory of your life. I mean, fundamentally, it may change the way you perceive reality. It's a powerful mechanism. Join a group. Atoning is lots of fun. Even if you get to sit with your husband or wife or you're just with friends, recognize that this capability, this resource you have is just breath away, literally. And your body will start responding to your breath in minutes. And once you develop safety and skill around that, then the sky's the limit. When I was practicing, I was going inside for 2 hours a day. You know, some of the meditators, you don't have to go in for 2 hours. It's just good. It's fun. The endorphins are dosing my body. My immune system is being recharged. But you can go in as little as 5 minutes a day and make a difference. So I just encourage everybody not to think like you have to go climb Mount Everest. It's one step, baby step at a time.
The Inner Balance Trainer device or application displays heart rhythms. It helps to indicate how emotional states affect your nervous system. This device could be considered a tool to help one eventually learn to generate, at will, a vibration of emotional composure. This composure is the vibration of coherence between one's mind and heart. Take a look at the episode notes for links to learn more. The concept of internal coherence is an in-the-moment state of peaceful acceptance, wherein scattered thinking, fatigue, disorientation, sleep disruptions, and burnout are all reduced. This can provide one with more energy, increased focus, positive emotions, and improved sleep patterns. The effects of this kind of conscious personal regulation can be widespread, affecting not only the individual, but everyone around them. You're listening to Nature, Therapy, and Beyond with Catherine Skynot. Appreciation to my guest, Eric Knaus of Mindfulness Exercises. Gratitude to Blue Dot Sessions, www.sessions.blue, for our instrumentals. And to you, thank you for listening.